This week on Mic Drop Dallas, we're talking March Madness, both men's and women's. And we hear from Cowboys Pro Football Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware on what makes Dallas such a great place. It's season 5, episode 3. Let's drop the mic and let's go. Welcome to Mic Drop Dallas, everybody, the official podcast of the Dallas Sports Commission. Kevin Sullivan here, along with Dallas Sports Commission Executive Director Monica Paul and our on-air producer, Next Level, Marcus Carr. Before we get to our guest, Monica, as always, we like to shout out some recent Mic Drop moments. We've had a bunch of them here in Dallas. Dallas's own Scottie Scheffler coming from way back to win the Players' Championship last weekend. First time in its 50-year history to have a repeat winner. Way to go, Scotty. We had the unveiling of the Mike Modano statue. For any of our listeners, if you haven't seen it, go check out Star's social media and watch the ceremony. It was fantastic. The statue is incredible. Modano got emotional, and it was, the whole thing was really well done. So mic drop moment for the Stars and for Mike Modano, who means so much, Mr. Hockey, really, here in Dallas. Of course, we had Kyrie Irving drop a left-handed baby hook over Jokic for the Mavericks to knock off Denver. Obviously, the defending champs and kind of, you know, best team, if not numerically, on a given day, the power in the West. So that was a great win. And Monica, we got mic drop moments coming because we got the South region coming to the American Airlines Center. Thanks. In large part to your team, you and your team at the Sports Commission, March 29 through 31, and it is stacked. Number one seed is Houston, of course, Kentucky, Duke. These are some of those blue blood programs everybody talks about. And then, of course, we have a little Texas flavor with Texas Tech and A&M. I know you're going to be going to the A&M welcome party with Dave Brown of the American, our friend from the American Airlines Center. Before Marcus breaks it all down for us, because he's done some deep research, what can you tell us about the process, what it took to bring this regional to the American Airlines Center here in Dallas?
Well, surprisingly, Sully, this started back in 2019, the bid process for this round. Every year, we always bid on either first and second round or regional on the men's and the women's, more so the women's super regional. And it's a little bit delayed from when we do the final four bids. It's a slightly different process, but we're actually just submitted future bids for 27 and 28. And our host institution partners being the Big 12 Conference and Conference USA. So this year for the regional, really partnered with the Big 12 Conference, as well as the American Airlines Center, a big piece of executing this, and we focus on the more the hospitality side of things, of welcoming the teams in. And regardless of if we've hosted a first or second round or regional, they tend to be super successful here in Dallas, and the energy surrounding them, it really builds up for 2 weeks here as we host a regional, because that anticipation of, like you said, in the name of the teams, of who we can host. And immediately, once the brackets come out, you start to get ticket requests. Even though it's a regional, you can't confirm your four teams. You still start to get ticket requests. So, really a pleasure to be hosting that.
All right, Marcus, let us break it down for us.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this part of the bracket, I think, is going to be filled with drama. You know, I think the most popular 5-12 matchup, Wisconsin and JMU. This is going to be a lot of ones where, you know, the popular vote is people are going to go with JMU. I am a little still on the Badger train. I know, you know, that's a little dicey with just how they've been playing recently, but, you know, JMU can shoot the ball really well. And, you know, to enhance, you know, the Texas flavor is that we could have, you know, three, you know, teams here in Dallas that are actual national championship contenders, because they have been all year. Houston obviously leading the charge, Duke Kentucky and Marquette. So I think, you know, if I had to pick a matchup out of the first round out of this region, looking at JMU and Wisconsin, but also Texas A&M, I know, you know, Monica doesn't love the Aggies, but their backcourt is so good with Dallas native, Wade Taylor. He's played absolutely lights out all season. And then, you know, Houston also has a Dallas native as well, Jamal Shedd, who has played really well. We'll see, you know, Texas Tech take on a tough NC State team who came out of nowhere during the conference tournaments. They, you know, they took down Duke, they took down North Carolina, they've taken out the Giants. And, you know, I will say, if I had to pick someone to come out of this, I do think it's going to be Marquette. I'm a big Shaka Smart guy. I know they're battling some injuries, but you know, he's been a great coach everywhere he's gone. He's had success, you know, VCU, Texas, and now, you know, Marquette. So if they can get over those injuries, I think they will be the ones, you know, coming out of the South. But on the other side, I think it's interesting that, the NCAA, you know, decided that we're going to have hopefully a mic drop clash here, against Purdue and Texas. So, you know, I'm a believer in Texas. Texas is going to have a fun first round matchup with Tennessee, you know, playing, you know, former coach Rick Barnes. So Monica, you know, I would love to hear your thoughts on that first round matchup, but Sully, Sully has bigger fish to fry because he has to worry about Purdue getting out of the first round. So
well, it's too I'll Marcus. It's too soon. You know, Purdue accomplished something in the history of the NCAA. There's only been something like six or eight teams that have been ranked number one at one point during three seasons in a row. In the last three seasons, Purdue was eliminated by your beloved Mean Green of UNT, by the aforementioned St. Peter's, and in really ignominious fashion, to use a vocab word, Monica, Fairleigh Dickinson last year, who, other than the fact that their SID, their sports information director, was a student, I like that story. They don't even have a band. Dayton had to send a band over. I still haven't recovered, and so I can't even think about this year. The stakes are so high. This is the shot, and we got a pretty good, pretty, you know, a lot of the experts have said Purdue has the easiest path, but I'm dreading the whole thing. I'd like to take a gigantic Ambien and wake up at when it's all over and just see what happened.
Well, Sully, I hate to tell you that, let me go back. Because we are hosting this year, any year that we host, I don't do a bracket. But if I were to put in a bracket this year, one, I'll state that I really wish my Longhorns will go a long ways, but I'm not super confident that's going to happen. But I don't have Purdue taking it all, or I wouldn't if I was submitting a bracket. I think you're going to have a fall.
Maybe, well, Monica, that's why they play the games. And, you know, Purdue's better than last year. Those freshman guards are now sophomores. And Braden Smith is going to be All-America at guard, I think, at least second or third team, which means it's not just about Zach Edey. So enough about the Boilermakers. This is Mic Drop Dallas, not Mic Drop West Lafayette. But I appreciate the conversation. And again, I'm a mess. I can't even think about it. All right. So Monica, what else is happening at the Sports Commission? I know you got more going on besides the upcoming regional, as always.
Oh, yes. I mean, actually, this week is a very, very busy week for us. We've got the CONCACAF Nations League Finals starting up on Thursday, and then Sunday we've got a play-in Copa America play-in matchup going on at Toyota Stadium in Frisco. Dallas Cup, you know, the annual international youth soccer, very prestigious, starting up this weekend. We'll go all through next week. Athletes Unlimited is going to be on its fourth week of competition out at Fair Park. We've got a Wang Memorial fencing tournament going on. We've hosted
site fencing
all week, or not all last week, but all yesterday, to continue our planning with FIFA for outside of the stadium and traffic. We've got our first in-person FIFA Sustainability Committee meeting going on this week, and then a lot of planning taking place for the WBSC U18 women's qualifier that'll be taking place all the way in August and September, but we're trying to put all the pieces together. So, and I'm almost certain there's something that I am missing in terms of the number of events that are taking place this week and next, but it's event time for us here at the Sports Commission. So, but wouldn't change it, wouldn't want it any other way. I learned my lesson back in COVID for that one. So I'd rather be very, very busy than nothing at all.
Well, one thing that I would like to chime in, you brought up AU, you know, pro hoops, and we talked a lot about that last week, and I did get the official scouting report back from the celebrity game on Merrick's, and goodness is that he was one of the best players to participate in the celebrity game.
Wow.
So the points were there. He was shooting threes, you know, a lot of big buckets. They said, you know, it was a great time, you know, all around. The attendance was off the charts. I did see some videos, you know, from the game. So big congrats to, you know, our friends at Athletes Unlimited, but also big shout out to Merrick's on performing for the mic on behalf of the Mic Drop team.
Way to represent. All right, Monica. So we'll be back in a moment to talk men's and women's March Madness with Amanda Krestovich of Front Office Sports. And then our very own Next Level, Marcus Carr, on location, on site, in the field with a special interview with DeMarcus Ware, held at a hockey rink, about a golf tournament with a Pro Football Hall of Famer. You are not going to want to miss that after our conversation with Amanda Krestovich. But first, over to Rachel.
Get ready, sports fans. This fall is stacked with events right here in the Big D. From food, sport to football, the number one sports business city has something for everyone. Head to dallassports.org to sign up for access to exclusive ticket announcements, discounts, and pre-sales to be part of the next big win.
We are pleased now to be joined by Amanda Krestovich of Front Office Sports. That's a multi-platform media news organization that covers the business of sports, which of course is what Mic Drop Dallas covers quite a bit. I highly recommend the morning newsletter. I am a faithful reader and I think an original subscriber, maybe. Amanda, really good work there, Eric Fisher and the crew. Amanda did an internship at the Wall Street Journal before Front Office Sports. That sounds kind of interesting. She's from LA, now based in New York. She's a Georgetown Hoya. I promise we're not going to bring up the state of Hoya basketball right now. She wrote for the paper there. Welcome to Mic Drop Dallas, Amanda Krestovich. Great to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yes, please spare me the Georgetown. Actually, more let's spare your listeners my latest Georgetown rant.
I don't know, Sully. That could be quite fun to get her ranting on here about Georgetown.
Well, Amanda, I'm a devoted, lifelong Purdue Boilermaker guy, and I'm just braced for heartache, agony, disaster, calamity. I'm running out of adjectives. I can't even watch.
Let's hope this week goes better than last year for you.
Well, a couple of years ago, we beat Texas, so I was able to hold that over Monica.
All right.
And then the next game, okay, we lost to, in ignominious fashion, we lost to St. Peter's. So I'm not, yeah, here, I get the yellow card from Monica.
Ellie, you're getting my yellow card. I just got these FIFA yellow cards, and to throw something like that against my Texas Longhorns this early in the podcast, that's uncalled for. I have the red one sitting right over here with me. If you do this, if you throw this out here again. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I will stand down. Monica, take it away. Get this thing back on track.
All right. Well, Amanda, very excited to have you here, and want to jump right into March Madness. The excitement that's going around the women's tournament, the overall interest in women's hoops that is taking place, the surge, the phenomenon, bigger than we've ever seen it before. I mean, we've hosted the Women's Final Four last year, and it was off the charts, even better than 2017, which we didn't think was possible. We can see the interest in Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. How big is the business of women's sports and this women's tournament coming up?
Yeah, I mean, this women's tournament, I think the sky's the limit. I was also in Dallas and I had so much fun last year. I mean, obviously we knew it was going to be huge, but I don't think we knew how huge. The sellouts, the crowds all over, outside, I remember I like hid, well, not hid, I like may or may not have snuck into the red carpet area to take pictures for our social team. I mean, maybe I was allowed to be there. I'm not sure, but just the energy was unbelievable. And then, of course, we got the ratings. Over 9 million viewers for the championship game alone, which topped the majority of bowl games that year. So I've seen folks asking the question of, when is the women's tournament viewership going to surpass the men's? The ticket prices, I believe, in Dallas last year were higher than the men's tickets, partially because, in addition to the interest, the men play in a football stadium. So there's a lot more seats versus, the women are still traditionally in a basketball arena, which a lot of people think is better. So yeah, it's hard to say how big it's going to be, but I think the combination of the momentum that the tournament has had over the past few years, and the improvements that have been made for marketing, branding, the momentum that's going to continue into next year's media deal, and then you add the Caitlin Clark effect onto all of that, I think that, like I said, the sky's the limit. I expect multiple ticket records. I expect multiple ratings records. And I expect this tournament to rival the men's for sure.
Well, I love to hear that. And when I got home yesterday after work, I happened to be flipping channels, and our championship game from last year, LSU and Iowa, was on ESPNU. So at first I thought I recognized the arena, and I looked at the teams, and I actually saw Kim Mulkey's outfit, and I was like, "Hold on, I think that
Unforgettable.
might be our Final Four." So I sat there and watched that entire Final Four. I'd never seen it on TV. I was, there in a seat on the sideline. So it was a totally different perspective for me, but really kind of got me thinking about another topic that I think a lot of people may be talking about, of that NCAA selection committee putting Iowa and LSU in the same region. So what are your thoughts on that? No rematch for at least in a final this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite the gauntlet. Obviously, everyone's talking about that. And I will say my colleague Margaret wrote a really interesting story yesterday, basically about, obviously the selection committee is thinking about the on-court prowess. They're not supposed to be thinking about the business implications, but as business reporters, obviously we are. And we were wondering if, the NCAA unintentionally kind of maybe shot itself in the foot by giving Iowa specifically such a difficult path back to the Final Four. And then specifically, putting them up against these other huge brands. Again, obviously, that's not what they're thinking about, not what they should be thinking about, but an unintended consequence, of like, obviously, it's great for the business for Iowa to advance as far as possible because of the Caitlin Clark effect. So we'll see if the NCAA like inadvertently made, a mistake there.
Yes, I think that will definitely be interesting to see. So this actually next week we're hosting a regional. So obviously watching the brackets be unveiled on Sunday. I think our eyes are braced to the TV just to see who we may be able to get here in Dallas. But a lot of interest on the men's side as well, as always. What are the kind of sports business angles on the men's side this year?
Ooh, so many. I'm in New York, obviously, as you mentioned. So I'm going to the games in Brooklyn this Thursday, or the games are on Friday and Sunday. And so a story that I'm going to be looking out for is poor Stetson. Stetson University is making their first ever tournament appearance in, in school history. And for their first ever tournament appearance, they are facing, overall one seed and defending champions, UConn. And it's absolutely going to be a home field advantage for UConn from a fan perspective. I can tell you that much. So, not going to be easy for them, but we're definitely interested in sort of the off-field or off-court investment question of what does it take to make it to the tournament for the first time. We talk a lot about Cinderellas. A Cinderella could be a team that hasn't made it for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, but there are actually 34 teams on the men's side who are eligible who have never made it. So I think that is going to be a big question. And then sort of something I'm going to be reporting out throughout the tournament is I think 2 or 3 years ago, we're looking at the difference between the men's and the women's tournament structurally, and we're talking about equity, and we're talking about which question, which the differences between the men's and the women's tournament, it's inequitable. I think now the question is slightly different, for at least the structure of the tournament. The question is the way that the women do it better? Is playing in a basketball arena better than a football stadium? Is having your first rounds on campus with, no corporatization of the March Madness logos and homogenization of what these arenas look like, is that better? So that's something I'm going to be reporting out.
Well, as a business reporter, you know that money talks. And famed producer Don Ohlmeyer, an executive, once said the answer to all your questions is money. So the men going from a football stadium back downsizing to an arena, I wouldn't probably put a lot of money on that one. But the question we've debated here on Mic Drop Dallas with a couple of guests over the years is should the women and the men be played at the same location? Do you have a take on that? Have you spoken to any of your sources or executives about that angle?
Yeah, I have been weirdly like obsessed with that question actually for the past couple of years. I've done a couple features on it. I think I side personally with Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman, who has sort of been the leading the charge to combine the tournaments in the same place. And her argument is we need to try it. And I think that's what I believe as well, because as a reporter, right, it's so unfair to have to choose to be in one place. I mean, last year Dallas and Houston were close, but it was still really difficult to go back and forth. Some people did it, I wasn't able to. And so making the industry choose, making the commissioners choose, making journalists choose, right? And then you look at something like a Grand Slam where the men's and the women's are played together and they sort of like the fans feed off of each other. They're just tennis fans. They're not men's basketball or women's basketball fans. I think, there are obviously logistical difficulties, but I think it could be, a really great, a really great event. And fun fact this year, another story I'm working on, the NCAA has their first sort of NIT like event that they're doing for the women, the WBIT. The final four for that event and the final four for the men's NIT are going to be in the same place. It's going to be a combined final four at Hinkle Fieldhouse. So I guess obviously it's a smaller scale, but we'll see like maybe a little bit of a test run about how a combined championship could work in basketball this year for the first time.
The Monica, you know better than me on this. The locations are awarded many, many years. We've got the 2031 Women's Final Four coming back to American Airlines Center, I believe. And then say a word, Monica, about the logistics thing that Amanda just referenced in terms of hotels and practice venues and that sort of thing. Could you actually accommodate two regionals worth of men's and women's team in the same location?
Oh, I definitely think the combined championship is something that we actually put forth in a bid. Oh boy, probably two bid processes ago, it would have been the 2023 men's Final Four. We hosted, obviously, the women's. We were awarded the women's Final Four, but in our pitch, and it's probably 2019, 2021, whenever we were bidding for this. We put in for a combined championship. And I do think, that's looking at two different venues. The men would have played at AT&T Stadium, the women at American Airlines Center. But I think we have the Fan Fest location, the combination that, both of those events have, maybe a little smaller on the women's, but definitely growing. I think the hotel piece and the practice venues, we have a multitude of options here, and the ability to accommodate. We could have easily accommodated eight teams. So, and I think if you look at a combined regional, like the women have gone to a super regional, and we're in a current bid process for one of those. So hopeful for the future. You're already hosting eight teams already. So it's just a larger scale on a championship and a lot of other ancillary events and media that go along with it. So I would definitely be in favor of testing it out, and not quite honestly, I think it'd be an honor to host a combined championship and see what that leads.
Well, shifting gears just a little bit, staying with basketball, Amanda. You've written a couple of stories about what's happening at Dartmouth where the players want to unionize. One of their players said, "We want to be paid." Of course, Ivy League, they don't give scholarships. He said, "We want wages, not scholarships." Now, of course, Dartmouth has said, "No, we're not going to honor the union." This is sort of a thing that's a story that's unfolding and you're covering. Where do you think this lands?
I think ultimately it lands with one of the court cases, whether they be, one of the National Labor Relations Board unionization efforts, or, the USC unfair labor practice that I'm also covering in LA, or one of these big antitrust cases. One of these is going to end up, with athletes being considered employees. Which athletes is a question. How soon is a question. I think the answer to that depends on the court system. But I really find it hard to believe that the NCAA and its schools are going to bat a thousand with all of these cases attacking the amateurism model. And one thing I want to note is, like, there's a chance ultimately this Dartmouth unionization effort could fail. And the way that that would happen, in my opinion, is if President Biden loses the general election, because the NLRB is related to the makeup of it is related to each administration. So if you bring in a conservative administration, it's very possible that the NLRB is going to roll back some of its rules. It changes them depending on who's president and who's in charge. However, the court system, which in the Supreme Court, which is pretty much the makeup of it is I believe pretty much set, is very, very similar to the makeup with the Alston decision, where the justices agreed 9-0 that the NCAA had violated antitrust law. So I really don't see how amateurism survives past 3, 4, 5 years.
Right. And really fascinating how much is changing. Just one last question for me before I bounce past it back to Monica. Let's just one football question. Give us a summary, with the Big Ten and the SEC form this, alliance, and we've seen some stories the last couple of days about how the expanded college football playoff will work and who gets in and how many spots for each conference. What's the latest on that? How do you think that will play out?
Yeah, well, all of us reporters were thrilled that the CFP decided to drop a major update the Friday before Selection Sunday. but the update there is that the nine FBS conferences, right? Obviously, the Pac-2 is theoretically maybe part of this, but didn't sign because we don't know if there will be a Pac-12 in 2026. But those nine FBS conferences in Notre Dame have agreed to a playoff between 2026 and 31 that will be at least 12 teams. That paves the way for the 14-team playoff that everyone's been, you know, hearing rumors about. However, CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock basically said, hey, we're actually like not as full steam ahead on that as some of the reports have suggested. We're talking about it, we're thinking about it, but there's no rush. You know, and he refused to confirm this, but there were other reports, kind of as you mentioned, that the Big Ten and SEC are going to be getting like 58% of all CFP revenue, whereas like currently it's 80% split across the Power Five conferences. So I think, you know, and then there's the TV deal, which theoretically is going to be a renewal with ESPN, but hasn't been finalized either. So I think we still have a situation where there's more questions than answers.
So Amanda, before we let you go here, I work usually with a lot of students and teach sometimes on the side as well. And I always like to get perspective from some of our guests of what would you, over your experience and your path to date, what guidance would you give those who think that, one, they want to work in the sports industry, whether it's sports events, on the media, the broadcast side of things? What are your few good words for those wanting to get into sports?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think I've been very lucky in my career so far, obviously. But I would say, I think two things. I think have a plan B, C, D, and E. You know, if journalism didn't work out for me, I had experience in sports, social media, marketing. You know, I really like looked into, you know, for like 35 seconds, I considered going to law school. Don't do that. Don't do that. Please, please God, don't do that. but yeah, I mean, you know, I think that, so keep an open mind, first of all. And then second of all, it's like, be really like, get to know yourself, get to know what your priorities are, what you want your life to look like, what your strengths and your weaknesses are, because your strengths may translate to a bunch of different types of jobs, right? And you can market those strengths in any economy, in, you know, a lot of different markets, different places. But also, like, you know, everyone talks about career as like it's everything. And like, of course, we all say it is, but also, what do you want your life to look like? Where do you want to live? What do you want your hours to be? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you not willing to sacrifice? Those are all important things to think about when you navigate your career and where you want it to be in 10 years.
Well, I don't think I could have said it any better than that. So Amanda, really thank you for joining us today on Mic Drop Dallas. And yes, going to be exciting few weeks here for March Madness.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And now over to Rachel for a word from one of our sponsors.
Get ready, sports fans. This fall is stacked with events right here in the Big D. From food, sport to football, the number one sports business city has something for everyone. Head to dallassports.org to sign up for access to exclusive ticket announcements, discounts, and pre-sales to be part of the next big win.
DeMarcus, we're here at Invited Celebrity Classics Media Day. You just wrapped up shooting, you know, hitting golf balls on the ice. Last year, you were hitting golf balls on the Texas Rangers field. Can you just talk about, you know, what that experience is like with the kids, but also, you know, what makes this so special, you know, bringing sports together?
I think just the wow factor. When you think about playing last year, we started off with at the Rangers Stadium, hitting you know our wedges and trying to hit it into a net. Or now we go even bigger, to now you go on a hockey field court, and you know you try to put balls. But the wow factor comes from when you start thinking about being able to walk with your favorite celebrity on the golf course. That's why we do this. To just bring awareness to, hey, you're going to get that same type of feeling when you're out there, and it's free. And so if the fans want to come out, it's already paid for through Invited, and you get to walk with your favorite people that you look up to and get to enjoy the day.
You talked a lot about philanthropy and how mm-hmm. important the impact you're making. Can you just elaborate more on, for one, the Invited Celebrity Classic, but also all the other, you know, philanthropic work that you do, that you've done since, you know, you've stepped away from football?
When you think about Invited, let's just talk about Invited, how they've gotten Choctaw, other companies as well, to come in to pay for the tickets for everybody else to benefit and be able to enjoy this tournament. And them raising money, you start to see how it helps in the community with the Momentous Institute, First Tee of Dallas and Fort Worth. That's the coolest thing. And all of the celebrities here aren't here to get paid. We're here to pay it forward in the community to see how grand the donators and everybody they're giving to change the community. And that's where my heart's at. You know, if it's from, you know, feeding the hungry at the Salvation Army all the way to, you know, doing things with the North Texas Food Bank or a big project that I'm working on is putting breakfast back in DFW schools, because there's over 3 million meals that aren't being used and they're free. So let's put, you know, meals back into schools and being able to see the kids smile the first thing of the day, because I didn't have those meals. And so I know what it felt like. So being able to do something like that because it's from the heart and seeing how much it changes is just big for me.
Like many Dallas athletes, you've made, you know, after your career, you've made Dallas home. Mm-hmm. What makes Dallas so special and makes you want to continue to be here and make an impact, you know, here in the North Texas area?
What makes Dallas special to me, that's where my family, you know, grew up at. That's here now, my kids. But also I played with Dallas, so I have so many memories here. And it's so cool when I did the media today, I knew everybody behind the camera. And that feels like family. And they know that when I see them, it's with a handshake or a hug, because it's a real relationship. It's not transactional. So that's what makes me want to stay, is because also the star power, not just from the players and the celebrities that are here, but the power that everybody, once they come together, the impact that they can make.
Absolutely. Thanks mm-hmm. so much for your time.
Thanks, man.